Good morning, Oregon. I'm Finn J.D. John, Finn at offbeatoregon.com, and this is the Offbeat Oregon History Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. Thank you for loading me down and queuing me up, and I hope you enjoy the show. Well, happy Tuesday. Tuesday is the day of our Blast from the Past article. This article was published on September 10th of 2009, so it's one of the very early ones. Early and short. It's about the town of Jacksonville in southern Oregon, where gold was cheap and food cost plenty, and you actually had to pay the bank for the privilege of holding your gold. Yes, Jacksonville was a mining town. Well, here's the story. Let's get started. Recently, food prices have been on the rise worldwide, causing riots in third world countries and worried frowns on the faces of American farmers who've invested in ethanol stills. Still, it's nothing compared to the experience of one Oregon town that sprang up about 150 years ago in the middle of a howling wilderness around a particularly appealing gold discovery. The town of Jacksonville, at first known as Table Rock City, sprang up in seemingly in seconds. In 1851, after a couple of freight packers on their way from the California goldfield stopped to try their luck in Jackson Creek. Their luck, as you've no doubt gathered, was very good. In fact, it was so good that gold dust quickly became this new town of Table Rock's least important commodity. This was chiefly because you couldn't eat it. The nearest productive farm was about 100 rugged, craggy, heavily forested miles away, and provisions had to be brought in on ship and stagecoach all the way from San Francisco, courtesy of, among others, Charlotte One-Eyed Charlie Parkhurst. This was a mighty expensive way to get your victuals, as Charlie might have remarked, and in fact, in 1852, the year it became the Jackson County seat, a pound of flour was fetching a dollar, which is just north of 26 bucks in 2007 currency. Salt was trading straight across, pound for pound, with gold dust. And the town's bank was treating gold like any other valuable commodity being entrusted for safekeeping by charging a storage fee to deposit it. It was the only bank in the country to reverse the traditional system of paying interest on deposits and to actually charge depositors for the convenience of not packing their nuggets around. The town was also home to Oregon's first Chinatown, and a couple of years ago, a highway construction crew digging up Main Street turned up a bunch of artifacts, bowls, teacups, opium pipes, that kind of thing, which anthropologists are studying even now at universities. Like most boom towns, Jacksonville wasn't high on the hog for long. In 1884, after a 30-year run as southern Oregon's hottest hotspot, a railroad line was built through nearby Medford, leaving Jacksonville out in the cold. Businesses started migrating closer to the rail line, and the death blow came in 1927, when the county seat was moved to Medford, too. Unlike many of its contemporary towns, though, Jacksonville never burned to the ground. In 1966, it was declared a National Historic District, and it remains a popular place to visit for folks who want to see some Oregon gold country history in person. Today, Jacksonville's about the same size as it was in 1852, when it was Oregon's largest city. A little more than 2,000 people call it home, and it's a very popular place to retire. Today, Jacksonville is about the same size it was in 1852, when it was one of Oregon's largest cities. One source claims it was Oregon's largest city, but there are five or six cities in Oregon that make the same claim, so I don't know. In any case, a little more than 2,000 people call it home, and it's a very popular place to retire. Its glory days were phenomenal, but they're behind it now. Or are they? This town, founded on gold, seems to still have the Midas touch when it comes to the Oregon Lottery. Since 2001, three multi-million dollar jackpots have been claimed by residents of this tiny town, including one whopping $340 million Powerball prize in 2005. Well, that's it for our show for today. This show is part of Offbeat Oregon History, a public history resource for the state we love. In addition to this podcast, it includes a weekly newspaper column, a daily RSS feed to catch on your smartphone reader, a Facebook page, a Twitter feed, and a couple other minor components. Photographs and other images that go with today's show are on offbeatoregon.com, where you'll also find full citations to the sources used in writing this story, along with more than 200 other articles written over the last 5 years, all organized by date of publication. This podcast is covered under a Creative Commons license. For details of that, see offbeatoregon.com/CC. Our theme music is by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, and was written by Carmen Ficarra. I do Offbeat Oregon for learning and for fun, so I don't sell advertising or ask for donations, but if you feel a need to make a donation anyway, may I suggest that you buy a copy of my book instead? It's called Wicked Portland, The Wild and Lusty Underworld of a Frontier Seaport Town, published by the History Press in 2012. You can order it from the store link on offbeatoregon.com if you'd like, but if you still have a local community bookstore in your town, I hope you'll consider buying it from them instead. It sells for $20. Finally, if you're ever in Corvallis, drop me a line. Maybe we can grab a cup of coffee and talk about history. I'm at finn@offbeatoregon.com. Don't be a stranger, especially don't be a stranger if you have a good idea for one of these columns in the future. Speaking of the future, our next show will be coming your way at around 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. And until then, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff. Bye now.